Sermon, Lessons from the First Chapter of Daniel, Berkeley, California, August 20th, 1910. Sermon by Mrs. E. G. White at Berkeley Camp Meeting. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Asphanaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them for 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. Daniel 1, verse 1 to 7. The king of Babylon changed the names of these captive youth in harmony with his general policy of changing former conditions with which they had been familiar, so as to gain a controlling influence over the minds. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. Verses 8 to 13. This was a very short space of time in which to make the test, but the Hebrew youth were willing to venture it, even in that short time. So Melzar consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. Verses 14 to 16. And what was the result? As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Verse 17. From this experience, we may learn that we may all preserve our spirituality if we hold firmly to the position that we will not live in harmony with the world's wrong habits and practices, but that we will walk in the path of self-denial. Thus we may keep unobstructed the channel of communication between us and heaven, and there will be given us the strength and the power we need in order to understand the scriptures and the deep movings of the Spirit of God. The four Hebrew captives knew that by cooperating with God, they would be enabled to maintain a close relationship with Him, and their senses would not become perverted. They did all in their power to keep their mental faculties in the best possible condition. It is the privilege, yes, the duty of every soul before me today to give careful study to the principles of health and temperance in the daily life. those who do this will learn how to keep their brain nerve power in a healthy condition and will be able to distinguish between truth and righteousness. And this means everything to those who are striving to gain life eternal.
Those who place themselves in right relation to God are learners in the school of Christ. Daily they are learning what the Lord requires of them. Daily they stand in such a position before God that they are able to discern between light and darkness. Time is short. Earth's history is soon to close. There is no time now to indulge in perverted appetite or to be anxious all the while about the cares of this life. This is a time when all should seek to stand in right relationship with God. It is truth and righteousness that enables men and women to distinguish between light and darkness. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, verse 8. He well knew what effect the food served on the royal tables would have on his physical and mental powers if he were to partake of it. And so he purposed in his heart not to do it. Herein he revealed his loyalty to right principles. How many there are today who would say, "It would be a wise policy for us to forego our personal ideas and try to come into harmony with the customs of the country into which we have been brought through no choice of our own." How many there are who would think best to try to live as nearly as possible like the other students with whom they were to be associated in school life. But not so with Daniel and his three companions. They determined to be true to the God of their fathers, even while living in a strange land and surrounded with all the seductive influences of court life in the palace of the king. The record of the experiences of Daniel and his faithful associates reveals the outcome of their determination to be true to God. God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs, and the request was granted for a simple diet for 10 days as a test. And at the end of the time appointed, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. Verses 9, 12 to 16. The result is told in the words of the next few verses. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of Cyrus. Verses 17 to 21. The Hebrew youth who were faithful to right principles of temperance reform were, in the providence of God, raised to positions of high honor in the Babylonian Empire. They were placed where they could have large influence. Never would they have been exalted to these positions had they not refused to indulge. There is much comprehended in temperance reform. Right habits of eating and drinking have a great deal to do with right habits of thinking. A large variety of food taken at one meal has its sure effect on the brain. God's cause today is in need of faithful men and women whose purpose it is to be true to Him under every circumstance of life. Every believer is to occupy some position of usefulness in the Lord's work. Some may act a humble part in a line of work that is easily understood. Others may be able to carry larger responsibilities. All are to act as laborers together with God. Everyone is to trade upon the talents lent him of the Lord and preserve his body blameless. But if everyone was in that position where parents would understand how to treat their children, we should see a very different complexion upon the countenances. We should see a very different understanding as it is represented here by the course of keeping out of their mouths and out of their stomachs things that would quarrel. We put a great deal too much of different kinds of food into our stomach when we set out our table. Let us have one class of food in the morning and another at noon. but don't have half a dozen kinds of things in your stomach at once. That stomach will rebel. Then you hear the complaint. Somehow my head aches, and somehow I have trouble. Well, you just try self-denial and see what you can do in the line of self-denial in eating and in drinking, and in every way possible, you do your duty. Do what you can to preserve health.
I'm glad to see today that the ladies now have very simple habits in their dress. It is very nice. I feel thankful to God when I see them with their worsted dresses, just straight down and plain. Hold to it. Don't get rid of it for some other kind of a fashion. When you get a good fashion, hold it. It is simple. It is just as God would have it. He wants you to be simple in dress. He doesn't want you to put on your bodies those things which will be a detriment to your influence, if you intend to work for the salvation of souls, because they will imitate you. And now we want every dollar, and we want every particle of health that he can give us. For there are schools being established, and on the right order. There should not be a large company in one school. Never. Cut up the school, and let it be under teachers that can take care of them, and that can understand and read from cause to effect. What we want is intelligence in teachers. What we want are those who can work with their students in taking the Bible in its simplicity and present the word to their students. I talked to them in Lodi, gave them an hour. I talked to them in other places, in Mountain View, and gave them an hour three or four times over. And I felt as though the little intelligence that was manifested on these occasions was tremendous. It was tremendous to me, for it has kept me out of that work. I dared not speak to the public, and I have just come on a venture today. I dared not venture to speak in all that time. It was quite a good many weeks ago, but I suffered tremendously with the heat inside. It was cold outside, very cold. But inside there were the stoves, and having to draw in those heated, poisonous breaths from the big crowds which packed in houses of worship, it seemed to me I could not get through it. But I talked my hour four times. I stood it. But I have not been able to stand, or dare to venture, but two or three times since. I was afraid for my life. But it need not have been thus at all. If men and women would just take care and see that they place themselves in the right position, it would be well. I could not help myself. They had gotten the house heated up so because of the cold, not realizing that all these breaths were giving the heat, poisoning the atmosphere for the speaker. It has cut me away from my work for months. That is what it has done. And I want to tell you, God wants us to have a little more common sense, and he wants us to have that common sense sanctified to his service. Now, I did not expect to speak about this out here today, but I felt that I must give something on this line. We can do for ourselves what nobody else can do for us. We can deny our appetites, and the father and the mother that have children, in the place of indulging them, talk with them. Tell them what effect this would have on their stomach, what effect the other would have, because you have learned it. You have got to learn it. Now these young men had been brought up in just that way, to fill some office of usefulness as long as they lived. That was the work they were to carry out, and therefore they made these conditions. You can do very much for yourselves in placing yourselves with a clear mind and in right relation to God, to deny the indulgences that will be brought in. Oh, continually it will be indulge, 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 in eating, in drinking, and in dressing. But our ladies, with the exception of the hat part of it, I think are doing excellently well. And I want to tell you that I look upon simple dress, not full, but simple dress that you wear, I look upon that dress as very becoming, and I believe God looks upon it in the same light. Well, let us, every one, Speak an encouraging word to a fashion that shall come in to be right. Let us approve of it. Well now, we want to place ourselves in right relation to a community, and we want to place ourselves in right relation to God. We want to be in that position where our intelligence shall be educated. Now remember that. It belongs to every one of us to make the very best use of our intellect, but we may help others in the same direction. Let every jot of our influence go on the right side of the question, and then we will see that there will be reformations in our churches. Now we want the truth to spread all through our cities here, all around, and wherever we go, we want to bear the clear, decided testimony of what God approves. When we get in right connection with God, His blessings will rest upon our efforts, because our course of action will not deny the truth that we profess.
No wine, no beer, no rum, nothing that can disturb our brain. We want a temperance meeting on these grounds and pledges taken, let alone everything like fermented liquors or drink. Let it alone. And do let us try to consider that this body is of some account to us, and it is some account to the community. If we will carry out our simple principles, we will certainly have time that we can open the scriptures to those that shall be in different houses. Do you know your neighbors? Have you learned about them? Have you visited them? Have you tried to present before them that life which measures with the life of God? Have you tried to instruct them in the precious words of truth that God has given us? Now I feel intensely over this matter. I thought I should go on to some other striking things, but I am not going to in this discourse, because I want to speak again, and I do not want to weary myself as I have done, and then have to lay aside for months, and to suffer, impossible to sleep because of the situation. But we will change the situation another time. I want to say, I thank God that we can have air here. Praise His holy name. And I am so grateful to the Lord for all the privileges that He has given me. I will rejoice with heart, and I will rejoice with soul, and I will rejoice with my common sense that I can say, arrange things that they will have an influence on those that are around me. What we want is religion. What we want is acknowledgement from on high, and we can have it. Daniel 2. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, The thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream, and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream, and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. Verses 1-9. Well now, as we read on, we find that the Lord came right in to his servants. They were to be destroyed. They were going to kill them all, and Daniel with them. But the Lord gave the interpretation, and they understood it, and therefore their lives were spared. I am not going to go any farther in this chapter, but I will speak again of some other things. I want to tell you,
We do not arise to our high positions to have intercourse with that power that is above us, which is Jesus Christ. We want to understand the truth that will stand the test of trial and of judgment. We want to know what is truth. If you study, you will find that God requires every soul of us to keep His commandments. And His commandments are wisdom, and it is truth in righteousness. We want that everyone should come into right relation with God, and your eating and your drinking are to come into that position that you are an example in your home. The smoking, the using of tobacco, it is poison. It is poison. But here intelligent men will put into their lips this poison, and then they will scold, and then they will fret in their houses. What you want is to let tobacco alone. In all cases, it is a poison. I know what I am talking about. We have had to work, to go out and open various places for settlements, and the blessing of God has rested upon us and upon them. I went several miles to visit that new country that had been poisoned by tobacco. The gray-headed father and mother were apportioning little spots to leave their children. They had been converted to the truth. We had sent our teachers, and they were converted. And now, they questioned, what shall we do with the children?
Well, the gray-headed father took me and led me around to see the little spot of a farm they had, that they were going to divide up to these children. But, said they, it is so hard to get out the poison of the tobacco that they have been cultivating. It is so hard. The ground is poisoned. And now we have to work with all our might to get this poison out, if we can, and settle the wives right on this place. There were two or three married women and their young men, noble-looking young men, to go out and carry the gospel to the regions beyond, to those that have never heard it. Here is the tobacco that they are smoking and they are chewing. Did God want them to do it? No, indeed. He wants us to warn the world of what they may be and what they may do. We are to come right to them in the gospel message and tell them, every power of your being belongs to God. You are robbing God of the very work you should give to Him. Tell them that Jesus Christ has given His most precious life to a shameful death, to the crucifixion, that He might stand in relation to the world as their Redeemer. To come here and preach the gospel to all nations, and that He might save them. When we were in the South, we went into Nashville, and went around into the different places, and there we saw what might be. We saw what might be. We saw that the trees might be cultivated, and that they might be beautiful farms. But farm after farm was passed by, poisoned with tobacco raising. We want all to understand that we must take the platform, and we must talk to the people, good common sense. What we want is religion. What our family wants is a crucified and risen Savior. And what your young men want is to become acquainted with Him. Put them right into the schools. We have one here in St. Helena, just a few miles from where I live. I've spoken to them several times, and we want that these schools should be built up upon the very highest principles, so that they shall not have that education to destroy instead of to build up. We want heaven. We want eternal life. We want that life that measures with the life of God, and we can have it if we will follow on to know the Lord, that we may know His goings forth are prepared as the morning. And you should see what delight these people had. They had my books, Patriarchs and Prophets and Great Controversy, that we had sent to them in these lands. Now, said I, you go around. You get all you can to listen to the truth. Write to me, and I will furnish the books that shall give them the knowledge. I have the books upon every point they should have. And we sent them books to Portland. They were getting ready to meet Blank, and one old lady they wanted to introduce to me. She came out with Patriarchs and Prophets in her hand. Well,
said I. Do you feel that you understand that book?
I am trying to, said she, and I am making progress in it.
Why, it is wonderful, wonderful.
Yes, said I. It is because it had come from a wonderful God. He has given light on these subjects. Now, I want all these books circulated. I have given packages of books to those who were teaching school, that they could teach their students the principles that the Lord would have them to do. We want to be fitting up for heaven, and we want every one of you to be fitting up for heaven. There is a heaven to win. There is a hell to shun. If you stand and take your position as one intelligent human subject, you may have to overcome habits and practices, but God will give you strength. God will help you in every movement you make on the right. Let the light shine in the hearts and minds and souls of your children. What are we doing to our world? What are you doing to bring light to your neighbors? Are you letting them alone? Or are you going to them with Bible in hand, showing them, just as I have been showing you, how God works with humanity and humanity works with God, and thereby the light of heaven will come into every place on earth? What we want in this world is means. Well, then don't spend means for things that you can do without, but invest it in talking to your neighbors. Don't say, I don't know what their names are and what they believe, for you are to find out. You are ministers of the Master. You can teach others the way of salvation. You cannot afford to lose precious moments, but take hold of the work and labor with every power of your being. I am now nearly 83 years old. I shall be, after November 26th, 83 years old. Yet night after night, night after night, I cannot sleep for hours. I am wrestling with God in prayer that He will open the eyes of the people to their opportunities, if they can only improve them, to have a life that measures with the life of God in the heavenly courts. Do you want it? If you do, act your own individual part. The Lord wants us to come into line, and He will work with us, and He will work by us, and He will work through us.
Now I want to say, we are going to do the very best we can in these meetings. We are going to see people converted, and we are going to see those right in our own ranks that shall come out and take a decided stand to labor with us in our work. We want heaven. We want to honor God. We want to present Christ. The Son of God has given His own precious life that they might be saved. Will we help Him? Will we help our Savior? Will we teach those that are around us, our neighbors, to lay hold upon the hope set before them in the gospel, which is an eternal life of happiness in the kingdom of God? Can you talk it? Can you work it out before them so that they will understand it, that every foolish habit that takes money must be given up? You want that money for the school. We have a school out here about 6 or 8 miles from our sanitarium, and we want that school to prosper. But we have got to have help. We have got to have strength. It is right, in the most beautiful settlement right in the woods, and we have advantages of every kind. But they could not hold it, because they were imposed upon by the community from the cities that would come out and be treated and yet give nothing for it. And now we want to say that that place needs help, and we mean to give it. And if anyone has changed that they want to put in the cause, they can give it to help that place now. They need help, and God will help them. The grace of God will be given to those who have means, and your means will work to the salvation of souls around you. They are doing everything they can. They work their school hours
and then they work their own hours to build their houses themselves. Well, they are a little bit discouraged. And I want to tell you that Christ wants them to look up. You tell them so, you ministers. You tell them so, Brother Irwin, and you that know them. You just tell them to look up in faith. You touch the hem of Christ's garments. You ask the Lord to let His blessing come upon these schools. Why, you see, to buy these schools, it costs something. But we are going to have them out of the cities, not in the cities. It is going to be out of the cities. These cities will be a hard place in a little while, all the wickedness that will be developed. We want every soul of you to take your position now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and we want you to go to work for the Master. We are working for the saving of souls. You can do it. You can act your part to your neighbors. You can go in and talk with them. You can pray with them. You can open the scriptures to them. That is the very thing that will help your religious life, and it will give you a confidence in the one that heareth prayer. We want souls. It is souls that we are laboring for. We want men and women to be converted, and those that have means to expend it, as I have expended mine, and am expending it all the time in the bookmaking, and in every way possible, that I may bring souls to Christ. I want light, life, light for the righteous. I want light to win souls to Jesus Christ. And just as long as God sees fit to spare my life, I will bear the message of mercy to the world. May the Lord bless you.